Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Buenos dias. Glad to have everybody here. Hey, on a side note, we mentioned last week we aren't meeting on the 25th. We had to find out about the 1st. We are for sure going to be here on the 1st. So for all of those who decide to go to bed early on New Year's Eve, you have something you can do in the morning. And for those that don't, you can just stay up all night and come right to service. So we're in the last 2 weeks of our series, Alignment. They're going to change a little bit for the Christmas season, and we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about a story that you've probably heard so much that you may actually just kind of shut down, because we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. And I know sometimes it's like, okay, where's the flannel board? And we're going to go, and we're going to look at this through two different perspectives over the next 2 weeks, and this week still focusing on the gospel. And so today I'm going to compare the reality that Mary went through to our reality that we get to live in right now with the promise. And so this week we're going to talk about the idea of a promise spoken, and next week we're going to talk about, this sounds a little cheesy, I know, a promise delivered. Come on, that's funny. Okay. Funny. Okay, let's pray and let's get started. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you this morning that here in this room, in this makeshift, this cafeteria and makeshift worship center, you're here. And that right now, your interest is on us, Lord, because this season, this purpose of Christmas that we celebrate is that you came for us. Lord, that you put on skin, that you came in the weakest form that you could, a human child. And so, Lord, this morning we just ask that you would speak to the promise that you've given us in your Son. Lord, as we look at Mary and we look how she responded, Lord, I pray that we would be people that would respond the same way. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that the Gospel of Luke was written by a man that was a doctor, that wasn't in the Jewish tradition, and he was researching for a friend of his. And, Lord, we thank you that these words have been recorded for us so that we could know you and know your story. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Gospel of Luke, which is where we're going to be, Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. And the idea behind Luke is one of the four Gospels. Luke was literally written by this guy who was a doctor, and he took it upon himself to make a record of what happened for some guy named Theophilus, which was most likely a high-ranking person, not in the Jewish tradition, didn't necessarily know. And so this was his record for this person, and really for us to know the story of Jesus. And so a couple things that you need to know leading up to this is we're getting ready to have angel Gabriel have an encounter with Mary, and it's commonplace. It's just like last week when we talked about Judas. Like, we have our we have heard stories, and we have our preconceived notations of Judas, and we have our preconceived flannel board ideas of how this encounter happened. And I want to start. We're next, not necessarily going to go verse by verse through it, but I would do you a disservice if I left out his first encounter. So in this season, there had been 400 to 500 years of silence. So God was speaking through the Old Testament prophets, and then one day he didn't speak again for 400 years until this moment. So until this moment, all they had was what was already recorded. There was no new revelations. There was no new encounters with God. There was no new anything but silence. And people had followed this, what they had, to the best of their ability. And then Jesus entered the scene, and before Jesus entered the scene, the angel Gabriel appeared to this guy named Zechariah. John the Baptist is a cousin of Jesus. He is the mouthpiece, the herald of Jesus, to proclaim that the Lord in the flesh is coming. And so the angel Gabriel appears to Mary's uncle, I guess, and he is a priest. And so there's two different encounters, and we've got to kind of have a glimpse of Zechariah to really get a glimpse of Mary and talk about the difference here. So Zechariah is old. He is a priest in the temple. It was his time to serve the Lord. So he went to the temple with his people, and they drew lots. They played rock, paper, scissors to who went into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and it was dangerous. They would tie a rope around you because you know, if you weren't clean enough, if your heart wasn't right, you are going to die. And then if you didn't come out at a certain point, they would just drag your corpse out and then bury you, I guess. I don't know what they did with you since you died in the presence of the Lord. I didn't know what that meant. Maybe they just... And so it was his turn. He drew the short straw and he went in to burn the incense unto the Lord. And so he went in there. He had done this his life. He had given everything to do this. He knew as much as he could know the Lord and the things of the Lord. And the angel Gabriel appeared to him inside the Holy of Holies. I mean, they were already scared. The holiness of God scared the mess out of them. And this moment, he's in there doing his job, and this guy appears in there, and I don't know if he had wings. But it scared Zechariah. Today's the day. I don't know what I did. And so they have this conversation. He was like, the Lord favors you, and you and your wife are going to have a kid. And his wife has been barren her whole life. They had, and it was a big disgrace in this culture if they couldn't conceive. And so, she was barren. And so the angel Gabriel came in there and he spoke, you in your old age, you're going to have a child. And I love this man. We don't usually, if you read this, I think we could get frustrated with the angel Gabriel that he punished Zechariah for asking a very simple question. And it's a very simple question that we're going to read in detail with Mary. But so he goes, how is this going to be since my wife and I are old? I imagine he flexed. The angel Gabriel was he didn't. He was like, I walk in the presence of the Lord, and he just lets him have it. And he goes, okay. Since you're gonna doubt me, it's still gonna happen, but you're not gonna speak until your child is born, until these things come to be. And so so finally he comes out, and people are like, oh man, what took so long? What happened in there? And he's like, he couldn't communicate, he couldn't speak, and they're like, he had a vision, but he couldn't tell anybody his vision. And literally, he went home to be with his wife, and, maybe finally, he couldn't talk. Anyway, they had a child and got pregnant. She hid it for 5 months. Gosh, I feel like somebody needs to tie a rope around my leg. Just pulled me out. And literally, until the moment that he was born, he didn't speak until they were going to name him something else. And he spoke. And so this encounter happened, and the angel Gabriel leaves, and 6 months later, there is the Virgin Mary, and this is where we pick up our story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. See, every encounter, every promise that we get begins with an encounter with God. We can't really enjoy, we can't really embrace the promises of God without an encounter with God, and that's what's getting ready to happen. Another thing that you need to understand is that it happens to normal people. I think sometimes, like, if we just saw the story of John the Baptist and we just thought, well, like, man, this guy's a priest. He is of, you know, he serves the Lord, and like, that should happen to him. But here's this little girl that most likely, and I know you've probably heard this, but most likely Mary is 14 or 15 years old. She's literally a nobody. And the angel appears to her in verse 28, and it said, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one of the Lord. O favored one, the Lord is with you. Like, and I say this a lot, but like, when angels appear, like, I think we think like, you know, they're nice and flat. No, like, every time an angel appears, people are afraid. Like, I don't know if it's just either they've been in the present. I don't know what it, if they're just like me, I think movie-wise, and I think they're like, you know, they've been fighting. Anyway, like, they are beastly. And so she was greatly troubled, saying and trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Just kind of like Zechariah, like, oh, what does this mean? The angel appears. In verse 30, it says, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Another thing angels say a lot when they appear. Mary, for you have found favor with God. And I love that, you know, the favor that God found with Mary isn't necessarily anything that she's done. Here's a 14-year-old girl. We might think that with Zechariah, that he has served the Lord so wholeheartedly, that he has done what God had asked of him, that of course God would bless him. But here is this little girl that probably has never done anything, and don't take this wrong, of value in our minds that would go, oh, highly favored of God. And this is when the story gets interesting. And stop, like, letting your brain think through, like, everything. Yes, I know she's going to carry the Lord. Yes. Think of it through the idea behind a 14-year-old hearing from the angel of the Lord, which is exciting. But then he tells her this. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. See, one thing that you have to understand when we follow and and embrace the gospel is that it doesn't always make sense. Like, the things of God, the things that God tries to walk you into don't always make sense. I mean, imagine this 14-year-old girl having an encounter. God had been silent. There had been no angels appearing. And I'm sure, I mean, of course, at this point, Elizabeth did not have John the Baptist, and so Zechariah was still mute, so no one really knew that he had an encounter, like what the encounter with God was. And so when the angel appeared to Mary, there was not like, oh, yeah, my cousin just, he talked to him last week, no big deal, like, I understand, God is on the move, he's doing great things. Like, none of that did she know. And then he begins to talk about what Jesus will be. In verse 32, it said, he will be great. And what's cool about this, like, this is the first, okay, so Theophilus has hired Luke to go out and make these recordings. And the first thing that he hears about Jesus is what we are getting ready to read in verse 32 and 33. And it says, he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The term Most High is simply another term for God. As we see in verse 35, the child will be born and he will be called Holy and the Son of God. And it says, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Like, this is the promise that they've been waiting for their entire life. 2,000 years. 2,000 years they have been waiting for this to happen, and it's coming to a 14-year-old girl. Like, and we're thinking, we've thought through the end. We see where Jesus is going, and we understand it through the lens that Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he's going to die for our sins. But here's a girl that has no idea other than it is a bad thing to become pregnant when you're not married. A really bad thing. Like, a stoning bad thing. And that's not like we're going to stone you on Facebook and say mean things about you. They literally get rocks and kill you. This, see, we're looking at it through the lens of a finished story when she's not. But she understands all these terms. He'll be great, that he'll be the Son of God, that he will take his father David, his throne. And he'll take the kingdom, and this will be forever. I mean, can you imagine God giving this gift to anyone else? Can you imagine why we in our culture have lifted Mary up so much, when in reality, Mary was us. Meaning that Mary is literally just a normal person living her life when God said, I choose you to carry my son. In verse 34, Mary said to the angel, now here goes the same question that Zechariah got punished for. How will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Why this is important. See, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered into our world, the sin nature entered all of us that have an earthly father. Like every one of us, you're in this room, there's not been another miraculous conception that I'm aware of. So all of you have a father, and all of us entered into this world carrying the same sin that Adam and Eve started. And so if Jesus entered the world and his father was Joseph, then Jesus would enter the world with the same sin that we are. And here God is eliminating that. He is becoming the father. He's taking away the original sin. He is making something that was not able to happen, happen. Verse 36 says, And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is her sixth month with her who has been called barren, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. Let it be to me as you have spoken. See, our encounter with carrying Christ, this gospel that we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks, this being week seven, is that literally where our life comes from is that we get to carry the gospel in us. Just like Mary. Except us, we live in the reality that our carrying Christ, unless our life shows it, isn't going to be like Mary's. Like, anybody that's had a child, it's really hard to hide that. I mean, early on, yes. Later on, no. And here, Mary, understanding what this means, says, let it be. See, there's a couple things that I just want to us to drill down on with this idea of what Mary did. Is that Mary was willing to take the Word of God and let that promise be carried in her. Because until Jesus was 30, really even 31, 32. It was her word against everyone else's. I mean, this promise she had to carry to her betrothed husband, her promised husband, and say, hey, you know, interesting story. You know, I had a conversation with an angel, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed me, and I'm now pregnant. I mean, Joseph was a chill guy. Like, his response was like, okay, we'll just dissolve this marriage contract, and I'm going to walk away quietly so you don't have to be stoned. And he goes to sleep one night, and the angel of the Lord visits him and says, you're going to marry that girl. And he's like, okay. And he marries Mary. But everyone knew, I mean, even they knew later on, everyone knew the reality that they weren't married. Because they weren't married, and he had never touched her until he was born. And so what I want to kind of have us experience this morning is we exist just like Mary. That literally, until Jesus returns, we're carrying the promise of God in us. And Mary's response to carrying the promise of God is what allowed her to see the delivery of Jesus. Because she could have easily I'm not interested in that. But she was willing to say, I am the servant of the Lord. See, it doesn't make sense. Like, it changes everything. Like, Jody and I went on our first, after our honeymoon, our first little trip. I think we went to maybe Cancun or somewhere. And she was like 6 months pregnant with Lydia. Hey, Lydia. and we were like, man, we want to go jet skiing. It's something we've always wanted to do, something we still want to do and haven't done, all because of Lydia. And so we go and we pay for our little jungle excursions with the jet skis, and we get on the little van or whatever that takes us down there, and no one said anything to us, and we get to where you sign up, or not sign up, but where you check in, and the girl that was there, she looked at Jody. And she goes, oh, no, no, no. Like, you can't ride the jet ski. I mean, she didn't speak very good English. She was like, no, 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 you can't ride the jet skis. And we didn't ride the jet skis and still haven't. 14 years later, we blame Lydia for that jungle excursion. I mean, like, it would have been awesome. It's not your fault, Lydia. We valued you over a jungle excursion on jet skis. We valued you so much that we've stayed away from them since then. But my point is that just like that, when you're carrying a baby, it changes the way you live. It changes the way you eat. It changes the way you sleep. It changes the way you respond. It changes automatically things that you would normally do, like ride jet skis, because it would endanger the baby. Like you just wouldn't do things that you would normally do. And then our life here, living on this side, carrying Christ, is choosing that while we're carrying Christ, there's certain things that we just can't do. And like our life, although I was joking, is just fine without riding the jet ski. Like, your life is just fine choosing Christ over some of the other things that are just dangerous for you. See, Mary understood that she was willing to carry Christ for the promise. Because all of the things that God told her, that he would be great, that he would be the Son of God, that he would, you know, be the king that they've been waiting for were all promises that wouldn't be delivered for decades. All promises that she chose to go through this phase of her life living for what God will deliver. Like literally, she chose in this moment, she chose all the awkward glances. She chose all of the conversation. Can you imagine what her mother said to her? I mean, can you imagine the conversation with her mom and dad? Angel, like we've heard some great things, girl, but like seriously, the Lord did this to you. Have that conversation with somebody. But Mary was willing at this point to carry the promises within her. And we are the exact same way. This season, right now, literally, we're walking around carrying the promise of God. See, Mary couldn't do this on her own. Like, Mary couldn't make herself pregnant by herself. We cannot make ourselves the person that God has made us to be by ourselves. Like, she needed the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. God is, in this season, wanting us to literally carry the Christ around. Like, that gift right now is sitting inside of us. But we have to believe the promise. Like, we're not going to carry Christ without believing the promise. And part of that promise is the source. See, Mary had a conversation with an angel. A pretty trustworthy source, especially in this. Now, like in our culture, you might go down to the Halloween shop and get you a pretty nice angel outfit, and you might freak some people out and like appear in their room and tell them to do crazy stuff. And they would probably be like, nah. Like, come here. Like, fly around in the room and then we'll talk. But in this day, like literally she believed the source. And where we're at right now, and why we've spent the last 6 weeks talking about the impact and influence of the gospel in our life and getting things that surround the gospel in our lives in correct alignment is because we want the source to speak to us. Like, if there isn't a reason for us to stay in this position, like, is God who He says He is? Like, I mean, this is correct. And like, in our culture, like, right now, at the end of service, you could say, yes, you know, I choose to carry Christ, and I love Jesus, and in 6 months from now, like, no one's physically going to know whether you're carrying Christ or not. Mary knew the cost. There's a cost to choosing to carry Christ. And that cost is going to be your life. Like, Mary could have lost everything. And really, for the most part, she did lose everything because she saw her son go to the cross. She was one of the few people there on site. Probably still seeing these promises and potentially thinking they've all been wiped away, where Jesus remedied all that when He returned. And so what I want us to do during this season, what I want us to do over this next week, and next week we're going to literally talk about the birth of Christ and why that is important of us, why right now us living in the promise is because we're understanding that there will be a delivery of that promise. Greg, I'm going to have our worship team come back up. So are you willing to be bold like Mary? Are you willing to, if today God calls you to trust Him? And this doesn't just mean like trust Him, meaning I love Jesus, I follow Jesus, but literally God has purpose and calling and destiny for us. And it's never about what we're going to accomplish and what we're going to amass. But are you willing to trust the Lord every day until His promise is delivered? Because I know there's some people that are in this room right now that the Lord has spoken to. The Lord has given you kind of a vision for your future, and you're not there yet. Like I'm telling you, planting a church is like becoming pregnant for a long time. I've never been pregnant. I have seen it up close and personal 3 different times. But it's believing that God has a manifest destiny for us and carrying that until He delivers it. And I believe it's not just like for the people that have been called to plant churches, but like that's what God's asked me to do. And it was terrifying to move out of our comfort, surrounded by my family in a large church that has a reservoir of resources, that my job would be secure. I wouldn't think about, hey, at some point I may have to get a part-time job. I might have to get a full-time job. Like literally, I had this security, and then God asked me to do something for Him. And so I believe that God has something like that, not the same, but like that for every single one of us. And the result of that is going to benefit those around us. See, Mary suffered so that Jesus could be born, so that Jesus could fulfill His destiny. And I believe that this morning that there's some things that God has spoken to people in this room that because it is so far off, or at least it feels so far off, that right now you just feel lost in it. You feel lost in the middle, my prayer in just a second is that you would have the same faith that Mary had at the beginning of this conversation to just wait until God delivers. Because God delivers every time. It's rarely how we expect it. I'm sure Mary, the morning of, wasn't thinking, hey, later on I'm going to have this conversation with this angel named Gabriel, and I'm going to get impregnated, and I'm going to tell everybody that it was immaculate conception. No, like literally that morning, I'm sure she was doing her thing, living her life until God spoke. And she got to choose to believe the words of God. So what words do you need to trust and believe today? I don't know. I plan on carrying the word that God has given me until it destroys me, which sometimes it feels like it is, just for the record. So if you feel that way, it's normal. Mary, I guarantee you, felt that way a lot. Or I will see God deliver. And that's where our joy is. In the promise. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, it's so easy to look at Mary and think, man, Mary was brave and Mary was bold and Mary was awesome. And she is everything that our dreams have been made of. Just a perfect scenario, and she was a perfect girl that responded correctly. And Lord, I just pray this morning that You would let us see that all of us are Mary. All of us, through Jesus, have the capacity to be and to do exactly what the Lord has called us. And Lord, I pray right now that we would stop looking at our ability to carry out what You've laid on us or what You've spoken to us. And we, like Mary, would trust the words of God. It was the Lord that brought Jesus. It was the Lord that did his part. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we would allow you to do what only you can do. Lord, I thank you that you call us sinners, friend, that you call us sons and daughters, that you call us into a relationship. And Lord, I pray that that wouldn't be the finish line. But our finish line would be carrying the promise every day until you deliver. And so, Lord, I thank you for the season. I thank you for our ability to just be changed by your people living out your words. And so, Lord, if that means that, Lord, literally right now you're speaking and encouraging someone, Lord, I pray that you would just pour your Holy Spirit out on that, Lord, that you would just give boldness and encouragement. Lord, if this morning, Lord, you're calling people just to trust you and believe you and believe that you're leading them to a place of wholeness and freedom. Lord, that they wouldn't just trust you in this moment, but they, like Mary, would trust you until you deliver. Because you are trustworthy. So, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us, that you would speak to us. Lord, I just thank you that we have another opportunity to worship you. And we pray these things in the powerful and mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.